Hello, I am talking about coercion-resistant electronic elections with write-in candidates. The problem we have with write-in candidates is this. You can always force a voter to vote for a certain random string and then see if this string appears in the tally. So if you read papers about coercion resistance and models and definitions for it, then you usually read something like, we don't consider write-in candidates in this model because this attack is always possible. So this is true if the tally is published directly, but if it isn't, then you have more possibilities. And I took a closer look at what happens if you don't publish the tally directly, but in a more fuzzy way. So in this example, if you don't publish the tally as it is, the name still appears in the tally, but you don't see if they got a vote or not. So you cannot check if the voter did what you told him and voted for this candidate. So what I did is I made a formal definition of this fuzziness and a general construction of how to construct such fuzzy schemes. First, I would introduce some notions. We differentiate between a tally and its representation. And a representation actually represents a set of tallies. And those representations are complete if every tally has a representation. And they are neighbored if the tallies in the set of represented tallies are close to each other. So, now the formal definition, which I will present very informally here. An election is mu delta fuzzable if it allows for some fuzziness. That means in an election where you have to publish the tally directly, this is just not possible, but if it's okay to have groups of tallies represented in a way that the number of votes for each candidate has mu possibilities, which are delta neighbor to each other, then it's mu delta fuzzable. And the more important definition is this. An election scheme, I'm talking about election schemes with verifiable correctness here, is mu delta fuzzable if its proof of correctness doesn't yield the exact tally, but it proves that the tally actually is in the set of represented tallies, but nothing more. So we still have verifiable correctness, but we only see if the representation is right, but we don't see the exact tally. So the problem is how to do this. I will give a general construction here, which is actually quite simple. The preconditions are an underlying election scheme that is either shuffle-based or homomorphic. And we unfortunately need a trusted authority because someone needs to calculate the tally. And we assume that the votes are cast in an encrypted way, so the trusted authority sees votes as encryptions but has the means to decrypt them. It works as follows. The trusted authority gets those encrypted votes and in secret calculates the tally. And then she makes the tally fuzzy by taking some votes away and opening all the others. So in that case, she takes a vote away from candidate 3 because he got only one and she wants to hide that he got one vote and some from the other candidates. And the remaining votes are opened according to the underlying election scheme. So if we have a shuffle-based scheme, those are shuffled and opened, and a proof is given that the shuffle was correct and so on, or the sum is calculated homomorphically and opened, whatever. And what remains to do is a proof that she took away really a small amount of each candidate. And she does this by opening those two, but in going. She creates new encryptions, which plain texts are indistinguishable to the plain text inside to the real world. And she fills up the encryptions in a way that there's now new votes for each candidate. And then she has to prove that each candidate has new unopened votes, either filled up or from real votes. So each candidate didn't get taken away more than new votes. So this is done again according to the underlying election scheme, either homomorphically or with a mixed net or whatever. And those votes are then opened, and this proves that each candidate got between the votes open, the number of votes opened, and new votes. Do I still have time, I guess? So I applied this approach to a voting scheme called Bingo Voting, which relies, it's an end-to-end verifiable voting scheme, which relies on a trusted random number generator. That's where the name comes from. And it, for correctness, the voting computer has to be trusted. So we already have a trusted authority, and we don't need to make new assumptions. The original scheme does not support write-in candidates, so I kind of tricked it into doing this. It works as follows. Before the election starts, we make a couple of dummy votes. Those random numbers are used on the receipt to conceal the real vote. And because they have to be kept secret, we make commitments to those votes and publish those. And to support write-in candidates, we add a new candidate named write-in, which is from now on treated as a regular candidate. And we later have a separate tally for the write-in candidates. Okay, and we also prove that each candidate got the same number of dummy votes. So in the voting booth, the voting machine knows those dummy votes. And the voter sees a screen where he can cast his vote, and we have a trusted random number generator that shows the random number that represents the real vote. So if the voter votes for, say, Alice, a new random number appears here, and dummy numbers are taken for all the other candidates and written on the receipt here. And the voter can check if the right number is behind the name that she voted for. And also, we put a commitment on the receipt to the name of the write-in candidate. If, like in this case, the voter didn't write in a candidate, the commitment is to no write-in. And also, the remaining problem is that in the representation of the tally, we see all the names. And so we provide the voter with an interface to tell the voting authority, please put in that name into the representation, but I will not vote for it. So the name appears, but you will not see if this name got a vote or not. Now, in the post-voting phase, I will first shortly explain the not fuzzy scheme. All the receipts are published, and all the remaining dummy votes are opened. Those mirror the tally, because each time a voter got a vote, he doesn't lose a dummy vote. So if the voter turnout would be 100%, so everyone voted, then the number of remaining dummy votes for each candidate is exactly his number of votes. Or if the turnout is smaller, then you have to just subtract an offset for voters that did not vote. Then all the receipts are published, and the proof that on each receipt is exactly one fresh random numbers, and the others come from commitments. And I think that's it. Yes. And the second, then we have a second tally for the write-in candidates, where we mix and open the commitments of two write-in candidates and do a proof of correct mixing. Okay, now if you want to make that scheme fuzzy, we have to do three things. The first step is, like in the original scheme, we prove that on each receipt is exactly one fresh random number. And the second step is publishing a representation of the tally and prove its correctness. Step two, we do according to the example I showed you before. The voting authority chooses a fuzziness vector, and it has some restrictions, like fi has to be smaller than mu. We don't want to take more than mu votes away, and the sum of all votes that you put in are mu, because you see which commitments will be new and which are the old ones, so you see how many are put in. And if it's less than mu, then you see that there was none filled in. And as a representation of the tally, we publish ti minus fi. And we prove the correctness of this tally by opening ti instead of ti unused commitments, or which would be all of them. We we open ti minus fi commitments, and then we create mu minus fi minus fi new commitments to dummy random numbers, to new random numbers that are indistinguishable to the dummy random numbers created before, and create commitments to them. Then the filled up unopened commitments we put through a shuffle, maybe randomized, then we do maybe randomized partial checking or something and open them. And we prove that there are just mu of them for each candidate. So we proved that each candidate got between Ri and Ri plus mu votes. Yeah, that's it. And the tally of the write-in votes works about the same. Analog logos, I think it would not be useful to explain this in this talk again. So the conclusion of this work is that coercion resistance with write-in candidates is actually possible according to existing definitions if, as an add-on to those definitions, you allow some fuzziness. But there are still some open problems. The notion of fuzziness presented here doesn't consider pattern voting, but there are standard techniques for those. And it doesn't prevent group coercion. You can always force a group of new voters to vote for a certain candidate, and if this candidate didn't get more than new votes, then the group gets somehow punished or something. And open for future work is fuzzy schemes that don't need a trusted authority. And it might be worth looking at the database anonymity corner, because the definition I provided actually looks similar to a definition called K-anonymity. And there's other better definitions like differential privacy. So maybe it's worth looking at those definitions and see if we can get a better definition of fuzziness, or one that maybe considers pattern voting too, or whatever. So thank you very much, and I'm open for questions.
Kind of curious about the legal aspects of reporting a different number of votes than were actually cast, and also what you think the social aspects would be, how voters will feel about knowing that the totals don't actually match even what was perceived to be cast.
Yes, that might be difficult, but the numbers for the values for mu might be really, really small, like one or two might be sufficient. And I think that's, I have no experience how much counting errors you usually have in paper-based elections, but this could be a value that you could orient yourself on.
Well, in the US, at least in most places, totals are reported by locality, by neighborhood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it might only be off by a little bit in your neighborhood, it's also off by a little bit in my neighborhood. And collectively, of course, one would assume that it would come out even, but I just wonder how people would feel about knowing that the numbers are being deliberately misreported.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Okay, thank you.
One more question.
Back in the old days of the Census Bureau in the 40s and 50s, they discovered all sorts of inference channels. I'm wondering if you've thought at all about whether there are any inference channels one can come up with here by putting in a sequence of absentee ballots, perhaps collusion among various people, whether the fuzzing is actually avoiding that or whether there might be something there that I haven't thought through.
You mean that if there's a subliminal channel in the kind of fuzziness or in the way how you fuzz the votes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you thought about that?
That's still a problem. As I said, this is the first try, and I hope there will be better definitions. So.
Okay, but that wasn't one of your future work items, unless if that comes in under the relationship between mm-hmm. fuzziness and database anonymity, perhaps.
Oh sorry. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm wondering, are you claiming that you can protect against forced abstention attacks? Is that?
Those that are done by forcing the voter to vote for a certain string. I'm not claiming to prevent the voters from adversaries that stand in front of the polling station and see if they vote.
No, but if I understand the general idea, I didn't understand all the formal stuff. But you're adding a random number to the tally of each part there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you will have threshold problems, right? Either it will be in the end zero, it will not be zero. When you're reducing something from mm-hmm. the tally, right? I'm not adding. Okay, so, suppose I tell people to vote for different
mm-hmm.
special strings.
Mm-hmm.
And now you decide randomly whether to reduce or not.
Okay.
So for some of them, this string will appear, right? And the other alternative will be to reduce something for all of them, but then you need a threshold. So I don't see how you get away with that. So do you
okay.
see the problem?
Yes, I think I see the problem, but I provided it. You have to somehow be able to whisper names to the voting authority, like please put in all those strings into the representation. And
my point is that either you report zero or
mm-hmm.
you don't, right? So if somebody votes for something,
mm-hmm.
either you reduced enough votes
mm-hmm.
for the result to be zero, or you didn't. And there has to be a threshold, and a probabilistic threshold,
uh-huh.
where this happens with some probability. So
mm-hmm.
if I ask you to vote for a specific string,
mm-hmm.
then I can vote for that string myself
mm-hmm.
to put the action number of vote at some level.
Okay.
And then with some good probability, it will be zero, it will not. And I will get some information on if you voted or not.
Oh, okay.
Because I gave all the other votes. So in particular, if you're just reducing the tally by one or two
mm-hmm.
randomly,
mm-hmm.
I think you're revealing a lot of information. If
uh-huh.
you ask a lot of people to vote for different strings, right?
Mm-hmm.
For many of them, you will get, you will know if they voted that way
yes,
or not.
Yes, but as an addressee, we only have one vote, so you can only do this to one voter.
I don't understand.
You said that you vote for the same candidate yourself, right?
Yeah,
and
I
then
could do
get
that.
Information from it. But you only have one vote, so you only know the outcome of one vote. So if you coerce just one vote, this attack doesn't scale.
Yeah, well, the original, if you forget about adding things like that,
mm-hmm.
if you're just removing one or two votes randomly,
mm-hmm.
right? Then for some of them, you're not going to remove any votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to do this a bit smarter than just random. It has to be as random as possible, but you have to, if someone got less than you votes, they have to take away exactly the number of votes that he got.
Yeah, so the question is how many votes you, I mean, how big are these numbers in practice? What would you need, right, for this to be?
Well, that remains to be looked at, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Jump in with it. Yeah, sure. I mean, I think you can scale that attack a bit, because if you choose a bunch of voters, you tell them your strategy, but your strategy will be to randomly choose one of them, to which you'll apply Doug's attack, so they don't know which of them is. So I think you can.
So you can just.
A bunch of attack, but anyway.
Oh, yeah, okay.
James, yeah.
I'm wondering whether it would be easier all round, including legally, just not to publish the tally for any voters that get fewer than, say, 100 votes, or alternatively just to publish the names of the top five candidates.
Yes, the problem is that if you do this, you have to prove that the votes that you didn't open are actually for write-in candidates and that they actually don't make a difference in the tally. So if you have an outcome where one candidate got exactly one vote more than another, you still have to prove who the winner is. And if you just don't open like 100 votes, then you have to make a proof. It might work, but the question is how to do this proof. If it is done correctly, then you're done. So, but then it also might achieve this definition of fuzziness, so, yeah.
Yeah, I have another. Maybe this is a suggestive one. Somehow the optimal thing you could get is only the end result, right, for the election. And not only the winner, but like if you're distributing seats in the parliament, you're doing that according to some rules. The best you can get is a multi-party computation that computes that output and doesn't reveal anything else. So that maybe is the, you know, the thing you should benchmark against.
Yeah.
And not aim for complete coercion resistance. That's my point.
Yeah, but the question is, we have to write some scheme that is kind of practical. And that doesn't take a very long time to compute a multi-party computation, which is really inefficient. And But thanks for the suggestion, and you're right.
Yes.
And
so my point was not to sorry. I'll have to say this.
Okay, make it quick.
So the point was not that you should do this. Mm-hmm. The point is that, you know, the complaints that I come up with, and also Peter. Mm-hmm. Somehow there is another level of unavoidable attacks, right?
Okay.
And what can you do? What is the thing that you cannot avoid? You cannot avoid revealing the result, right? So if you're only revealing this result, this is the best you can get. Any forced abstentions attacks that you can still do, those you cannot avoid. So that should be your benchmark. This is what you aim at.
Okay.
And then your definition should be, you know, the fastnet should be on top of that. That's my point. So it's a suggestion.
Okay.
I wonder whether there's a hybrid approach that avoids this, where in the case where the election is decided by more than the total number of all all write-ins, you don't disclose anything about the write-ins because it wouldn't have, you can still prove that it wouldn't have changed the result no matter what those unopened votes prove. And you only release the write-ins in the case where it could have potentially made a difference. And therefore, anyone who's trying to do coercion has to probabilistically guess that the race is going to be close enough that the release, that there would be a release. If unless you are really confident that the race is going to be so close that it's going to force disclosure, then you don't bother because there's no point in trying to coerce somebody if the odds are only 10% that you're actually going to find out. And maybe that's a way to solve the problem without coming up with a whole new complicated mechanism that increases risk.
That's true, but you have to prove that the unopened votes are for write-in candidates. So,
but who cares if it's less than the margin? Who cares who they're for?
Okay.